Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM Bumbaribrip Media 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can give us a call and have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, discrimination, a real issue for people living with dementia. This is what the survey finds, and we're going to catch up a yarn with CEO of Dementia Australia, Marie McCabe, on the line. Marie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Trev. Good morning to all your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. You are still locked down in Melbourne, thinking of you guys, and light at the end of the tunnel, yes?
I certainly hope so, Trev. It has been a long lockdown period. I'm looking forward to it ending, along with many, many others.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Listen, a very important conversation, and I find this hard to believe. And when you're talking about discrimination, a real issue for people living with dementia, I'm thinking it's got to be people who are close to the patient, whether it be family members or nurses or carers. Who else would be discriminative towards someone with dementia?
Well, that's what the survey showed, Trevor, that it's actually family members and close friends.
Whoa.
And, you know, that and people in the community that know that the person has got dementia. So what it shows is that if most days people with dementia have the experience of being discriminated against, and it really is a significant issue because it can be so profoundly isolating.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that people living with dementia often share about with us, is the discrimination, the profound isolation, and the significant impact that has on their lives.
So when you're talking family members, or as mentioned, the higher percentage of discrimination by family members, if not carers, what have you, is a case of embarrassment or not understanding and the disease? Paint that picture.
I think it's the latter. I think it's not understanding the disease. And dementia is largely an invisible disability, and what we don't see, we don't understand often. What
yes.
we don't understand, we can fear, and what we fear, we avoid. And I think that if people understood that the person with dementia is still the same person, and that, you know, they want to be involved, integrated back into their communities the way that they've always been, and be with the people they love, doing the things that they love, and they haven't changed. It may just take them longer to do things, or to get the conversation going, or to find the right words, but, you know, they're still there and they really need our support and love.
So I suppose when carers or nurses or doctors are with the patient, family members, of course, should be there as well in regard to the education of dementia and support and guide them through this so-called jungle, yes?
Absolutely. And this is the opportunity of Dementia Action Week, to raise awareness okay. about dementia, to inform the community about what we can do as individuals and as a community to support people living with dementia, and to dispel some of the myths.
Mm. And regarding the survey, how was that done, Marie?
That was done, it was a written survey, over 5,000 people participated. There were people living with dementia, families, carers, community, aged care workers. We had a fabulous cross-section of people and a really great response.
And I suppose the thumbs up for the honesty in regard to the answers, yes?
Absolutely. It was incredibly generous of people to answer so honestly, and it gives us the opportunity to be able to use that information to raise awareness,
yes.
to give out accurate information, and to be able to provide better support for people living with dementia and their families.
Right, so here's the conversation regarding the survey and the outcome of the survey. So what we're saying is a beautiful conversation here on National Talk Black, going across the nation to everybody out there. In the future, if you haven't got family members with dementia, but as we get older, usually the elderly that pick up dementia, is that the case?
That's true. It's not a normal part of ageing, but it is more common as we age. And if you know people in your community that are living with dementia, please reach out to them, support them and support their carers, because they carers do such an amazing job. And if they're isolated and lonely and they don't have the support they need, it makes their job so much more difficult.
Sure. Look, we don't wish it on anybody, but what we're saying is in our conversation here, in the future, if you you know, step into that arena, so to speak, because of unfortunate reasons, be prepared to support your loved one with dementia and get educated to support yourself in regarding the process, yes?
Great message, Trev.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Marie. Thinking of you guys. Take care, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and best wishes to everybody. Take care, Trev. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's our CEO of Dementia Australia, Marie McCabe, and the topic there was discrimination, a real issue for people living with dementia. That's what the survey finds. And it looks sad to believe it, as I thought straight away, well, people with dementia and discrimination coming to the table, I would think, well, would be the people close to the patient as such. So I thought straight away family members, if not carers, nurses or doctors. And that was the case in regarding the survey. Survey found that mainly family members and friends or carers were showing discrimination towards a patient with dementia, which is sad. So it's about education, the fear factor, the unknown. That's what it's all about. And look, it's a yucky disease, and we need to support our loved ones. Look, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. The number here is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with the bully around Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumma Bripper Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. 1-800-422-416.
God is calling you, Aboriginal. Be united across this land.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that, daily number 1-800-422-416. All right, so the world we're living in at the moment regarding conferences and running businesses, what have you, all Zoom. And look, that's where it's probably going to be for this next guest I'm going to talk to, Associate Professor Katrina Felton-Bush, and talk about the Remote Indigenous Health and Workforce Conference up and coming. On the line, we have the sister on the line, Professor Katrina. How are you? Good morning.
Yeah, good, thanks, Trev.
Thank you for coming to the program, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, okay. So I'm Yungle from the Gulf of Carpentaria, so my mob are from Mornington Island. My mum's from there.
Yes.
And my grandmother's Gungalita from Mungabai, from the Burke Town area. So I'm proper from the Gulf.
Yeah, got connection there, my sister. So It's good you can shout to Murray lunch when we catch up. So we got connection there, my sister. Look, it's great to be yarning with you. Talk about this, the world we're living in at the moment in regard to COVID-19 and how we do businesses, because you've got a conference up and coming, and tell us how you're tackling the conference in regard to COVID-19.
Yeah, no, thanks, Trev. We run a biennial conference every 2 years, an Are You Remotely Interested conference. And this is really around health workforce policy and practice. Mm. So we have normally international speakers speaking about some aspects of health workforce, whether it's professional education or research or student placement. We have the policymakers come up and talk to the community and talk to us and present on programs. We also celebrate and try and practice, present on good practice around research, education and student support. But COVID's kind of got in the way of that. And so we've
put a curve on things, doesn't it?
yeah. We've had to kind of think outside the square. So because I'm based in Mount Isa and James Cook University, who I work for, we have, a press in quite a few communities across our footprint, which is most of sort of Queensland regional, coastal, and also in our rural and remote communities. Mm. And we're used to sort of getting on to Zoom and other platforms to talk to one another. But this year we've had to take our conference virtual, and that's been really interesting. And so our conference will run for a day and a half. It'll be a slightly condensed version. Mm-hmm. It'll be run through what we call a webinar.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll have opportunities for interaction. Obviously, it won't be like giving everyone a hug and catching up.
Nah, chum there, kiss there, hug there, squeeze there. Nothing like that be happening. And we belongs to that, aren't we? We're strong with that, aren't we?
true. And I'd like to promote, we do have a heavy focus, on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health our way. And so there's a good, strong part of the program. There's a good, some really good stuff coming up on the program for that.
Mm.
So we're trying to get out there and share the information. And it's a new way of doing things.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll pull it off and it's probably the way of the future, Trev.
Well, that's for sure, And look, as for over the last 5-6 months, I've been conversing with a lot of businesses and organisations in regard to their conferences. And look, they do work, and some good numbers come to the table as well. So more exposure, I feel.
Yeah, Hello.
You there? Oh, that's Sister Professor Katrina. We've just lost her, Katrina Felton-Bush, Associate Professor, and talking about the conference they're having up and coming remote Indigenous health and workforce. I'll try and get her back online and continue our conversation. But stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black. Got her back on the line there. My sister, you there? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm here.
Shut up. Like I said, COVID-19 on the phone, but the vaccine is just ring you back, and I've done that, so that's all good. I was saying in regard to the world we're living in, having the conference, I've been interviewing different people in the last 5-6 months and regarding businesses, organizations having conferences, they still go ahead with it, and Zoom and webinars, what have you, and they get good numbers anyway. So, yeah, like I said, it's a different world we're living in, a different way we're doing business, but it's a powerful tool thanks to social media, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just you know, connects us up, you know, it still keeps us all connected. So it's a great platform.
So biannual conference that you have with the Remote Indigenous Health and Workforce, and let's not have COVID-19 stop that. So it is still going to go ahead. How do people go regarding invites or are you sending invites? Is there a cost? You know, paint that picture, please, sis.
So you can log on to our website and on there is a link to our conference. So it's the Are You Remotely Interested conference.
Mm-hmm.
Our web address is obviously www.crh, which stands for Centre for Rural Remote Health, .jcu.edu.au. Or if you just Google Are You Remotely Interested conference, that'll come up and you'll be able to follow the link. It's free, so because it's on virtual, it's a free conference. We're celebrating International Year of the Nurse, so we've got the deadly Professor Royanne West.
Ooh, Cousin Royanne, beautiful, and she got her new appointment.
African woman. She's going to lead a panel of nurses, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, and so we've got a good representation there.
Yes.
We're also going to have Haleen Grogan, who's the Chief Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Health.
No, Sister Haleen, yes. Stems from Cairns, yes.
Yeah, she's Cairns girl, sending that. And she's going to talk to us about health equity programs, which are really a game changer for how health for Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people in Queensland is going to move ahead.
So we've got
Adrian Carson's going to come along and support that part of the program. It's going to be a mix of other keynotes, also papers presenting on work that people are doing around the patch.
Yeah.
So Minister Colton, the Honourable Mark Colton, is going to open it, and we're going to have policymakers there, university lecturers, leaders in the field of workforce. It's going to be great, and we're really looking forward to it.
Sister Katrina, what dates are we looking at?
So it's going to be run over, it's going to start in about 12 o'clock on Wednesday the 30th of September, and then there'll be a full day Thursday the 1st of October.
Okay, fantastic. Well, look, all the best to you and your team there. The conference will go ahead. Pandemic's going to stop us. Too deadly, my sister. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your mob out that way. And say hello to family out that way. And you take care. We'll yarn soon, Katrina.
Yes, we will. Thanks, Trev.
Bye-bye, dear. Deadly yarn there with Associate Professor Katrina Felton-Bush and talking about the Remote Indigenous Health and Workforce Conference, and the title of that conference is Are You Remotely Interested Conference. So if you are interested, Google Are You Remotely Interested Conference, and you can send in your interest regarding attending or being part of the Zoom conference webinar, and that's happening on 30th of September. Look, fantastic about working with our mob out there in community, and look, fantastic conference. I know the pandemic is going to stop them from having that. Fantastic. All right, have your say. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn Up, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
I'm always with the buck. I'm robbing straight out of luck to rebel against hell. And when I die, I want to rise to tell the story. Whose story? His story in the making. As I look up at the sky, I see no faking. What cause and effect is wicked. Was affecting, hitting it, quaking. I pray alone at night, and before I go to sleep, I awaken. Cause my spirit was breaking, but now I won't be broken. My soul soaking in the blood of the Lamb. Since the word has been spoken, I now think when eyes close, our minds open. Coping 24/7 on the stairway to heaven. On the stairway to heaven. And I carefully listen to the Lord, the hand, the hold, the double-edged sword. Care for me, but I was yet to see. I was missing in action, lost in the worldly attraction. So fraction by fraction, with eyes to see, ears to hear, mouth to speak, and a mind to think. I choose to keep traction, physically acting, now relaxing. Don't want to ever slip away, but sometimes it happens. I will keep on praying, yes, yes, and I will keep on staying in, yes, changing for the greater good of God, adapting, never collapsing. It's sin within that I felt so trapped in. Good seeds I wanna plant within, stamp within my next again. So in the end, we will be next to thee, with loved ones, dear ones next to me, high in heaven on spiritual ecstasy. I'm glad and I'm blessed to see. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm living, but I'll keep on climbing the stairway to heaven. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm living, but I'll keep on climbing the stairway to heaven.
Heaven, United Native here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, a voice for our people. So do have your say and yarn up strong on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to jump straight into it. We've got Senior Constable from Edmonton, that's Nicole O'Rourke, come to join us here in regard to road safety. And our little segment here is called Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pocone IGA, Brinsmead in Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here once a week for a school-based traineeship, and we are talking healthy living, healthy lifestyle. The topic here today is road safety. Every day, road crashes devastate the lives of Queenslanders and look across the nation and take enormous toll on families and communities. The number of lives lost and people seriously injured in crashes in Queensland and across Australia continues to rise. Speeding, drive distractions, drink and drug driving, driving tired, seat belts and restraints. All the above are some of the things that are caused. We've got Senior Constable Nicola. We'll come join my sister. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming, sister. Look, a very important conversation when we're talking about road safety. Look, it's about getting from point A to point B, keeping yourself safe as well as everybody in your vehicle, but also other users on the road.
Yeah, that's right. I guess the biggest point that we need to remember is that we all share the road. We all own the road. We all share it. Nobody owns, it's no one's personal property. And having driving a vehicle and having a driver's license is a privilege. It's not a right of ours.
Sure.
We are privileged to be able to have this infrastructure, and we need to be able to use it properly. And to do that, I'll start with speed. Speed is... It's you don't get in the car and every time you get in there try and break the land speed record for driving. That's not what it's about. It's like you said, getting from A to B as safely as possible. Speeding from A to B is you're putting yourself and the other people in your car, your vehicle, and other road users, pedestrians, cyclists, you're putting everyone at danger.
And there are speed limits.
Yes.
So if you just drive to the speed limit, you ain't going to have a problem.
And those speed limits are designed, they are set in place to so that the driver is taking in the surface of the road, where the road is, what's built around the road, if there's creeks or a train crossing or something.
Bulltop area or what have you, schools, whatever.
Yeah, so those speed limits are in place because all the other, I guess, variables have been taken into consideration for everyone's safety. And it's important to remember that if you're going above the speed limit, the faster you are going, the harder you are going to hit something, and that will severity of injuries will obviously, the faster you go, the higher the risk you are of injuring, possibly killing yourself, other road users.
Yes.
And when you're this is something that people don't think about, but when you're driving and your car collides with an object, a pole or a tree or a building or another vehicle, that vehicle, that car will crash on impact.
Sure.
And when it does, the car is absorbing all the energy, because that's what they call that kinetic, that moving energy.
Of course.
Kinetic energy. And it's absorbed by the vehicle, but that vehicle also that energy is also transferred to people, occupants inside the vehicle. And then once you're, you got to remember, when you're in the car and you're being thrown, the car is being stopped. The car's being stopped, but you're still travelling at that speed. Your body's still travelling at that speed.
Exactly.
So you're going to hit whatever's in the car. Things are going to hit you. And then to go one step further, if your body's moved, and even though it's stopped, all your internal organs are still moving around.
Exactly.
So this is just
internal damage as well.
It's what you can't see it happening, but this is what goes on, and this is why they say, this is why our message is very clear: don't speed. There's no need to be speeding.
Exactly.
You make it, it's better to make it than not at all.
We're not going out there to kill ourselves or kill anybody else. But the fact that if it happens, sad thing is families have lost loved ones because of it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't lost your life, that's why you're listening to us, there are people out there who survived an accident but have had people die in the accident.
Yeah.
And especially if you're the cause, you got to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. You know? And that it's going to impact you, your family, and the other and the victim of the other
the family's victims.
Families of the other victim, who still remain. So this it devastates everybody.
So speeding, big factor, yes?
Yep, speeding. Now, another one, driver fatigue is quite, people don't realise it, but if you haven't had a good night's sleep, or you've had a few days of
shift work, whatever.
Yeah, anything that has knocked you out of your normal
routine,
sleeping patterns, can cause what they call driver fatigue. And fatigue doesn't only relate to falling asleep behind the wheel. It also means that you're having brief lapses in your concentration, and which can is enough to take is to cause a accident, fatigue related accident.
So need a break if you're driving, you're tired, pull over and have a sleep.
Yes.
Or coffee, whatever.
Yes.
But even if it's that
tired. Actually, I'm going to stop you there on the coffee. Coffee is, is a myth buster.
Is that
drinking
right?
coffee
okay.
or other caffeinated drinks.
I'm a tea man, but anyway, yes.
So drinking, so caffeine, fresh air, and loud music won't stop you from being tired. These are temporary fixes, and they can give you false confidence, telling you that you're okay and you can continue to drive.
There you go.
So do not rely on those.
I'll take that back.
Yep. Sleeping is the only way to remove tiredness.
Okay.
Pull over, oversleep. Yeah. Look for the signs. If you're nodding off a little bit or you're blinking more than normal, you're sort of swerving in your lane or another lane.
Yawning over time.
Yeah, yawning. And you can't remember a few minutes of your previous drive, that's you need to pull off and just have a little nap. Yeah. Don't tell people what time you're going to be at a place.
Yeah.
Just say, I'm leaving.
Yourself.
Yeah, don't. Because then you're going to be trying to speed to get there. So that's what you don't want to do.
If you give that time then the mob, they're expecting you to be there at that time.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, then they're going to be bad mouth. They looked at Murray late again. No, don't
just
tell them the time.
Just say you'll be there
then.
On a certain day.
I'll
and if you're not going to be there, ring up and text. Pull over.
I'll see you, mob.
Yeah.
Exactly. So fatigue, very important. Yeah, that's another factor.
Now, another one that we have is mobile phone distractions. Huge.
Yes.
It's massive.
Yes.
Everyone has a mobile phone.
Big fines at the moment.
Oh, huge fine.
Yep.
$1,000.
Shut your mouth.
And then 4 demerit points.
Yeah, hello.
$1,000.
That's better in your pocket than somebody else's.
Yep.
You know?
I don't want to be giving money or any more money away to the state government. So, it is quite tempting, I've got to admit. It's like you hear your phone or your watch is buzzing to tell you something's going on your phone.
It's funny you say the watch because that's another tool that's come to our world.
Yes. And I put my phone, I do that little do not disturb thing so that I'm not tempted because I just don't want to create, I don't want to be the cause of a traffic accident. So
Murray put your phone in a glove box.
Yeah. But then you'll hear that thing.
Massive silent. It's awful.
Okay, so yeah, that's the cost of the fine if you do get caught.
That's in Queensland, isn't it?
Yeah, that's in Queensland. And there's 4 demerit points. Now, there are a lot of myths around using the mobile phone. So I just want to be very clear that it is illegal to be driving. It is illegal to be holding your mobile phone while you're driving. So this includes texting, calling.
Speakerphone
if you're making calls.
So
if you're holding the phone and speaking into it.
Yep.
I won't go through those in Queensland, those laws, because this is national. But there are things, check in your state to see what applies to provisional drivers.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about if you're stopped at a traffic lights and you're on your mobile phone or texting, you are only stopped at traffic lights. You are not pulled over to the side of the road.
So you're still visually driving.
You're still driving.
Okay.
You are
so you
deemed
can't do
to still
that at the
be
lights.
Driving.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Even if you pick your phone, oh, this is one that happened in Brisbane some few months ago. A bloke had stopped at a traffic lights and he was plugging his phone in to charge. He's using his mobile phone. He got fined for it. He took it to court and he lost because he was still
had the phone in his hand
at the time. So just leave it alone. It's not
charge it when you get home.
Who's that popular that they need to be?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That the message is very clear. Leave your phone alone. And people are encouraged, especially provisional drivers, they're encouraged to put that do not disturb or, flight mode or something.
Sure, exactly, on your phone. Yep, switch it off.
Yes. Now, one of the last things is seatbelts.
Seatbelts and restraints,
Yes.
Which is the law to wear a seatbelt.
Yes.
Across this country, I believe.
In Australia, we have to wear seatbelts.
Yep.
So from state to state, it is consistent that seatbelts are a must. Now, wearing a seatbelt significantly improves your chances of surviving a crash. I don't know how other clear way that message could be communicated. They are literally lifesavers, seatbelts.
Exactly.
Now, the facts are that drivers and passengers are around 8 times more likely to be killed in a road crash if they do not wear belts, their seatbelts. children up to 7 years. Children
and
who
you're wearing seatbelts for the unexpected too.
Yeah.
You don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what's going to happen, you know.
And like when people, like when dogs run out on the road, your reaction is to slam the brakes on.
Mm.
And everyone in the car goes forward. That's, you don't want to go forward. And like even though it's not going to, hopefully it wouldn't be something big, but like you said, you don't know what's around the corner.
Exactly. So that's seatbelts.
Yep.
If I can probably add to that, one of my pet hates is tailgating.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, because you're talking about a dog jumps out in front of you, well, you're stopping your seatbelt before, but also the people behind you driving.
Yeah.
And you know, there's no need for people to be up someone's backside.
No. People need stopping distance, and that doubles in the wet. Like when it's raining conditions, you need to increase your stopping distance, so double that. If you can sort of pretend, I guess, something that's about the size of an average male's hands, that's really the contact that the tyre has with the road. So that's all that the car is going to stop on by four. Like, so 1, 2, 3, 4 wheels. That's all that the car is relying on to stop. And if you're right up someone else's backside, you will crash into them.
Yep.
So,
and then you're at fault.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you hit someone in, up the backside, and because they stopped, and they stopped for a reason.
That's right.
Whether it be the dog or the kangaroo that you can't see.
That's right.
Or a child or whatever.
Yep.
But because you hit them at the backside, that's your fault. You was too close. That's what that means.
I saw an accident the other day where it was at a roundabout and the lady in front had stopped and the man behind had stop. No, it wasn't working.
Okay.
The man behind had tried to stop and he could, because of the wet, he could not bring his vehicle to a stop in time before he missed her. So there's a prime example of doubling the distance between your vehicle and the one in front. So keep it, that's just how it happens.
How it happens.
So from the QPS, we want drivers to stop driving like people, like you can afford the tickets or you can pay the damage bill.
Hello.
And the worst thing is no one can bring people back to life once the most horrendous thing has occurred.
Look, very important, and we sometimes sound like a broken record when we talk about these rules, road safety, but look, people are losing their lives, people are getting injured, cars are getting damaged, property getting damaged because of it. We need to just slow down, think.
We've had this horrible pandemic that's taking lives from us. We don't need to be doing more.
Exactly. You know? Well, you're getting in your car to go to point A to point B, whether go to work, go to football training, go out to the beach. Entertainment, it's a vehicle.
Yeah.
You're thinking in your mind and your heart, I'm going to have an accident today.
Yeah.
It's not what you want.
No.
So let's, and it's just the pits. It's like if it's not a bad accident, an accident is an accident, but then you have to go through the rigmarole or get an exchange of numbers, if the police get involved, and have you got your license, is it up to date, you know what I mean? Service of your car, the damage of the car.
That's right. And then a replacement car while your car gets fixed.
Exactly, all that.
And like also,
we don't need it.
Do you know, when was the last time your car got serviced? When was the last time you got new tyres on your car? What are your brakes like?
That's your responsibility as the owner.
Yeah.
As the driver of the car.
And that's why if you're speeding or you're tailgating or you're doing any of those things, and you can't say that, yes, your car's been serviced, yes, your car's got brand new tyres, yes, your car's got excellent braking conditions.
Mm.
You can't answer those questions, so...
Mm.
Do the right thing.
My sister, so how long have you been in the force?
15 years.
15 years. How are you enjoying that journey?
It's great.
Good.
It goes up and it goes down. It goes life up, itself. up, and then you're like, oh. But
that's life, isn't it?
That's the journey.
It is the journey. Now, as a black woman on the force, are you finding a lot of First Nation people are applying for jobs? We're getting a lot of black police. I know there's a police liaison officers out there, which is great.
Yes.
That's a nice connection for the community.
Yes. We do, and if you are thinking of applying, do apply.
Yes.
But just be mindful that it is completely different to what life is like as you know it. Mm. Once you join, you are challenged. You are challenged in many
different
ways.
But how you live your life and what you say and what you do.
And your
accountable.
you are accountable, and also your own value system is put to test.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I go to jobs and they're not necessarily exactly my mob, but they're our mob.
That's right.
And it's a challenging time because I'm performing a role. I have to do that with that has to be lawful.
Yes.
But at the same time.
And there's no discrimination in that.
Yeah.
Black or white, man or woman, you've got to abide by the law.
Without bias. We have to do our job without bias, without favouritism. But at the same time, you've got to. I've fallen out of favour with some of our mob because of I've had to do my job.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm encouraging anyone who wants to apply for any of their state or federal
But I would say too, and especially as a senior, you'd fall out of favour with some of your associates who may not step outside the ground, but may tackle a situation differently. Especially involves black people.
And
you're saying, hey, that's a bit over the line there, brother.
Yep.
My associate, you need to step back there.
And I can honestly tell you that's happened a few times.
Cool.
But
yes.
That's where you've got to have the courage. It's not about ripping shreds off people.
And pushing authority.
Not about shout downs or anything.
What's right and what's wrong.
It's about having courage to back yourself, to know what is right, know what is wrong, and understand your own value system and what you're not prepared to tolerate is the biggest thing.
Sure.
So once you are very clear on your own value system, once you're very clear on what you will, where the line is for yourself, what you're not going to tolerate, once you will have the courage to do what sits right with you.
Too deadly, my sister.
Yeah.
Black police officer, well, can I just say, a police officer happened to be black.
Yes.
A female at that, and girls can do anything.
Yes.
More power to you. Thank you, Nicole. Big shout out to the team there at Edmonton.
Yep.
And Senior Sergeant Len Delay, who's been a big part of this program. Say hello to that deadly brother.
He's on leave at the moment.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Gee. How long have you got?
Only a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks
out
of retirement.
Yeah.
All right, all the best to my sister. We'll talk soon, Nicole.
Thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there with Nicole O'Rourke, Senior Constable from Edmonton Police. I've been with the force for 15 years, a female at that and a black woman at that, and look, loves her job, very passionate about it. And our topic today was road safety. So it's about you mob out there driving safe, slow down with the speeding, no drink driving, no drug driving, and wear your seatbelts and abide by the rules in regard to the speed limits. You know, if you're tired, pull over and have a sleep. You mob, have a camp. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
The closer I get to you, the more you make me see. By giving you all you've got, your love has captured me.
Again, try to tell myself that we could never be more than friends, and all the while inside I knew it was real, the way you make me feel.
The closer I get to you, time just seems to fly. By giving you all I've got, so let's give love a try.
Sweeter and sweeter love grows, and heaven's there for those
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Bushman's Life Fitzroy Express here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. Mob, I thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. All right, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic of the virus. There's no vaccine, so abide by the rules, you mob. Too deadly. Yarn and soon.